The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, was recorded on May 13, 2018. For more information about First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, visit our website, fbc-sav.org. We hope you enjoy the service.
Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia. It is a good day to come together and to praise our God. As summer is coming in, we definitely have tons of folks who come and visit our city and come and visit us on Sunday morning. And so if you are one of those folks visiting from out of town, it is good to have you with us. And thank you for joining us for this time of worship. Also, if you are from our city and from Savannah and you're dropping in and saying hello, it's good to have you as well. As a guest, in front of you in the pew, there is a guest card for you to fill out and let us get to know you a little bit more. If you would fill those out, it is a wonderful way for us to get to know you. And then put it in the offering plate as that comes around a little bit later in the service. And as always, for those of us who are here every single week, if you would just look around for a second and see the people who we call family, who, like a family, we are mothers and fathers, sisters, brothers, but we are all children of God. And so may we worship as a family together. If you would join me in our call to worship. As a mother carries her child and lets the child play on her knees, as a mother comforts her child, we shall behold and rejoice, flourishing like the green grass. Come, worship God, who loves us as a good parent.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we adore you. We celebrate you. We bless you. We love you. Grant that in this hour we may so perfectly worship you that your love beams fall gently upon us as the warmth of the sun. Your Holy Spirit cover us with a healing balm. and your wisdom imbue us with truth and grace. We give you now our worship. Amen.
Join with me as we affirm our faith together. We believe in God, creator of all, who has called us to work together to build a world wherein the unity, peace, and joy of God's kingdom shall prevail. We believe in Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose again for us, that we might learn to live for others and find hope in his victory over death. We believe in the Spirit, in the power of truth, in the triumph of love, and in the reality of God's sustaining presence with us now. We believe in the church, in the unity and fellowship to which all are called, that we may heal the brokenness of life and find everlasting joy in fellowship with Christ our Lord.
Today's first lesson is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
The second lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, starting with verse 15 and going to 17, and then picking up with verse 21 to verse 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11. This ends the second reading.
The gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verses 16 through 6 through 19. I'm reading this morning from the Amplified Bible, and you'll see as I move through it why. Jesus is talking to his disciples. In fact, he is praying for them. And he's saying to God his Father, "I have manifested your name," that is, revealed your very self, your real self, "to the people you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and I have kept and obeyed your word. Now, at last, they know with confident assurance that all you have given me is from you, it really is truly yours. For the words which you gave me, I have given them, and they received and accepted them and truly understood with confident assurance that I came from your presence, and they believe without any doubt that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. And all things that are mine are yours, and all things that are yours are mine. And I'm glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, yet they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you've given me, so that they may be one just as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded and protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. I have given them your word, the message you gave me, and the world has hated them because of they're not of the world, and they don't belong to the world, just as I am not of the world, and I don't belong to it. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them into truth. That is, set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself to do your will, so that they may also be sanctified, that is, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. This is the written word of the Lord. After dinner conversations at our house with my children, while they were still kids, were mostly forgettable. But I recall one incident after my wife had served us curried chicken, when my middle child, the adventurous one, said, "Mom, that really was good, but we don't have to have it again." On another occasion, the curried fruit wasn't a big hit either. Conversations around the dinner table, though they never took on the complexity and depth of the ones Jesus shared with his disciples as part of his concluding discourses. It was at the evening of the Last Supper, a subdued occasion because Jesus knew what was about to happen. He used the time, though, to bring his heavenly Father and his disciples into a prayer that, for me, underscored at least three critical ideas. First, Jesus affirmed that he had successfully completed the earthly mission which God had given him. Second, Jesus urged his disciples to embody the unity that existed between God and Jesus' self. And third, Jesus declared that the disciples must remain in the world, but not of the world. First, Jesus said, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me." Jesus was speaking, of course, about the disciples. Before he chose them, he prayed, and these men were God's answer. His message was given to them, and they accepted it and understood that Jesus came from God. And the contents of that message, the revelation of the intensely loving nature and character of God the Father, and salvation through belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus knew who God was, but they did not grasp the height and depth, in the Apostle Paul's words, of God's indescribable love. In the Old Testament, we find the word Father used very seldom, fewer than 10 verses. But in the New Testament, Jesus referred to God as Father more than 100 times. he was emphasizing something new. If we've had the blessing of a loving earthly father, a father who wakes us up in the morning with, I love you, and puts us to bed at night with a prayer and a story and a hug. If we've had a father who teaches us how to swing a bat and ride a bike and to jump off the high board, who attends our dance recitals and cotillions and our ball games and cheers us on, who encourages us and picks us up when we falter. If we've had a father who teaches us to be honest and truthful and take responsibility for our mistakes, a father who takes us to church and reads us the Bible and explains the difficult passages so that we can understand. If we've had a father who appreciates and cares for all people, who loves our mother and our siblings with boundless delight, a father who's always there for us no matter what, then that is the father we have in God and more. Close, intimate, embracing, uplifting, inspiring, forgiving, blessing, the essence of pure love. Believe those images of your Heavenly Father. Believe that your Heavenly Father is like that, and it will change your life. John writes in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. Jesus affirmed, for the words which I gave you, I have given them, and they received and accepted them. All those words became the foundation of the Gospels, of the Apostle Paul's systematic theology, of the letters to the churches, of the witnesses of the martyrs, of the promise of a blessed life today and eternal life tomorrow. From God, the Father. Second, Jesus prayed, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are. The unity of Jesus and God was so secure and steadfast that Jesus wanted the disciples to emulate it. There's no way that Jesus could have been successful in his ministry if he and God were at odds. To use the word name here had a broad meaning that is not just an appellation, but also a term that includes the whole of a person's description, their personality, their character, their preferences, their beliefs, hopes, aspirations, desires, all of that is embodied in the name that one can hold. To have a person's name in biblical thought is to know that person fully as she or he can be known. And so for the disciples to remain in God's name means that they absorb into their being and witness the fullest understanding of God of which they are capable. Jesus came to reveal the fatherhood of God, which is not an Old Testament concept, and to bring salvation to the world. He trusts this little band of disciples to carry on the work that he had begun. But that will not happen effectively if the disciples are divided in loyalty, understanding, and message. Jesus implores, Holy Father, keep them in your name, that they may be one. Jesus was aware that his disciples were already bickering and seeking personal advantage, even in the upper room. But Jesus trusted them and set his expectation upon them. The unity that existed between Jesus and his Heavenly Father was to be the hallmark for the unity that Jesus expected of those who would come to know him as their Savior and Lord and Master. Sadly, early on there were differences of opinion among the disciples, and the early church was beset by heresies concerning the divinity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, and Christian behavior. As years turned into centuries, presumed followers of Jesus would create conflicting theologies, theological misunderstandings, competing denominations, and psychological and physical miseries. God's message of love in Christ would be diminished or deserted altogether. We know what a lack of unity in the body of believers can do. We've seen it between friends, in our families, in our churches, in our nation, in the world. Jesus knew it would happen, so he urged the disciples to work together and hold firmly to God's name, God's full revelation through Jesus Christ. Hold tight. The third, Jesus prayed, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. The phrase, in the world but not of the world, seems like a contradiction on its face. But Jesus made an explicit distinction between in and of. For himself, being one with God the Father provided a natural separation from the world. Jesus, as fully God, was above, beyond, and out of the world's reach. Jesus, as fully human, was present in the world, but his total obedience to God distinguished him from the world and its forces, including sin and worldly excess. Think of it this way. A scuba diver, for example, dons his life support and jumps into the sea. He's in the sea, but lacking gills and necessary survival mechanisms, he's not of the sea. He's protected by his gear, by what he brought with him. So too the disciples, having walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and prayed with Jesus and experienced God's love, the disciples were transported to another plane of existence where belief and behavior are governed by the rule of self-giving love. They were protected by their spiritual gear. They likely knew the words of the prophet Micah, "The Lord, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" And they would have heard Jesus affirm, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Following Jesus, the disciples saw those words in action. They learned that when life is governed by those commands, when they permeate our attitudes and our mindset, then our behaviors, decisions, words, witness, draw us out of everyday world into a loftier life penetrated by courage and wisdom, generosity and patience, and unselfish love. The world of human existence then may have driven towards them with incredible breadth and depth of sin, but it could not take hold of them, nor should it be allowed to take hold of us. Jesus prayed, "Protect them from the evil one, whatever form that might take." Clearly, the disciples had to remain in the everyday world, otherwise, the gospel message would have died on the cross. And so Jesus prayed, sanctify them, that is, set them aside, ordain them. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy. Jesus took this band of rather ordinary, unschooled, working-class men, equipped them with the message of the universe, armed them with the abiding protection of Almighty God, and set them free. The work of Jesus on earth was finished. The disciples were trained and commissioned. We have received the message, the truth, the responsibility to follow in their steps and to make a difference in the world that we touch is left to us. Let us pray. O eternal God, our Father, as you have touched us, as you have blessed us, as you have brought us into the fellowship of your Spirit and guide us by your presence, so may we, in all of the parts of the world that we touch, bring blessing and honor and glory to your holy name. Amen. There are some friends of mine who never say amen when they conclude a prayer because they say their whole life is a prayer and they're constantly in prayer. Think about that and what that could mean if indeed through all of the hours of your day there are moments when you simply say, thank you, Lord, or Lord, that certainly worked out well, or Lord, this is a challenge, give me a little help, or Lord, I know you're there, just help me sense it. It is time for us to pray. Holy Father, as we gather in worship this morning, we're mindful of the richness of your providence. So gifted are we that in the overflow of your grace, we can provide for those who have little and whose futures are challenged. Show us opportunities for sharing such that what we do have will not be taken away, but rather increased. We see that one standing beside the road and we look the other way, concerned that what we might give might be used unwisely. Help us to remember that we give out of who we are, not out of who they are. And thank you, Lord, for the resources of this congregation which sustain us and lift up and fuel our ministries. Lord, today for some people is a difficult one. They have recently lost parents and children. Please encourage us, ease our pain, and bring the promise of a brighter day. Mother's Day can sometimes be painful, but it's always, as we hold precious memories in our minds, it's always a delight. And Lord, as the children shared with me this morning, the gifts out of their own hand that they are giving their mothers, may they know the blessing of a loving and giving parent. Each one of us has been blessed with life and effective rearing such that we are here in worship, praying and singing and learning from your word. Thank you for your wonder-filled love and for your gentle urging that guides our steps, inspires our labor, and turns us away from unwise choices that could harm ourselves and others. Dear Father, we live in a conflicted world, not the perfect world you created, but a world we have created. Evil forces inspire evil intent, and evil intent produces fear, threat, anxiety, privation, illness, destruction. But by your grace revealed in us, we as individuals can make a difference right where you have planted us. May our Christian witness and manifest love bless family, neighbor, co-worker, and all whose lives we touch. And I pray the day will come when all people everywhere will return to you by whatever avenue, return to you the love that you have given us. Hear our prayer, O Lord, as we share together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples of his day, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Church
remembers Jesus' ascension. And before Christ ascended, he told his followers to be people of action, going, baptizing, sharing. And in this moment, we get to participate in the action of giving of our own resources, believing that the work of our hands can be used for the glory of God. Let's all pray together. God, who like a good parent takes us in and challenges us to see who we are created to be, loved children of a loving God, help us to remember that we are yours and that you are glorified in us and through our actions. So may these simple offerings be used to bring glory to you.
The doors of the church are open always to any who would make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ or who would like to move their membership or letter from another congregation of like kind to our own. And as we sing the concluding hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," remember the Lord God who is worthy of your crown, and remember the day will come as Christians where you will cast your crowns before Him. Let us sing.
Thank you.
you want to be seated for just a moment, just a few announcements. Again, want to say welcome to all of our guests today, those of you from Savannah and outside of Savannah. It was wonderful to have you here today. Also, it is Mother's Day, so congratulations to all you mothers. We celebrate and remember our mothers and even those who were mother figures to us. And so maybe if some of those are around you, give them a little shout out today. Also, later on this week, on Wednesday, we will, as always, have our Wednesday night activities. We are winding down. This is one of our last two, and this week we will have part two of Dr. Brian Martin. We had a great discussion this past Wednesday, and we will have part two of that this Wednesday and have a wonderful meal together. And that is it. So if we can, let us all stand together for the pastoral benediction and remain standing for the choir.
The benediction, the good word, is that God loves you with the greatest love you can possibly conceive. There is nothing you can do that will remove you from His love, and there's nothing you can do to get more of it. It's just there for you. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah. We also invite you to worship with us in person each Sunday at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. All are welcome.